Colonial Care Health System, Excellence in Healthcare, presents Weekly Dose of Wellness. Here's your host, Deborah Howell.
Hello and welcome to the show. You're listening to Weekly Dose of Wellness, brought to you by Memorial Care Health System. I'm Deborah Howell, and today's guest is Dr. Daniel Bethencourt. Dr. Bethencourt is the Medical Director of Cardiac and Thoracic Surgery at the Memorial Care Heart and Vascular Institute, certified by the American Board of Thoracic Surgery and a Fellow of the American College of Surgeons. Dr. Bethencourt has been practicing cardiac and thoracic surgery for over 21 years and has performed more than 600 robot-assisted cardiac surgeries. He graduated from MIT and Yale Medical School and completed his residencies at the University of Texas and UCLA. Welcome back to you, Dr. Bethencourt.
Thank you.
Always a pleasure to have you on the show. Today we're talking about robot-assisted mitral valve surgery. And I want to begin with what is a mitral valve and what are some of the reasons why someone might need surgery to repair or replace it?
The mitral valve is one of the two major valves in the heart. It allows the blood to go into the heart and then holds the blood in the heart while the heart generates a large amount of pressure to pump the blood to the body.
Okay.
The valve becomes abnormal because of intrinsically stretchy tissue and begins to leak. Generally, sometimes that leak is known as prolapse, but when that leak becomes severe, then the patient is at risk for major complications.
Is this the valve that when people say, oh, I've got to have valve surgery, are they usually talking about the mitral valve?
The other major valve is the aortic valve, and that is a more common condition where the aortic valve becomes narrowed and has to be replaced.
Okay. So let's get into some of the common signs and symptoms you may have if you have valve disease.
Typically, patients become fatigued. They become short of breath. Most commonly with exercise, and they find they're not able to do as many things that they normally would expect they could do. Some older patients think it's just because of age, but in fact, the amount of shortness of breath is really inappropriate for the amount of activity that they're doing.
Right. Does it come upon you suddenly? Just one day you're on the treadmill and you're not having a good day, and you think, oh, maybe I'm sick?
The leak begins and it becomes on slowly, and often patients, it comes on so slowly that the valve can be leaking severely without any apparent symptoms.
Oh,
and that's one of the critical points to understand, is that if the mitral valve is leaking severely, the patient should have a repair surgery for sure, or their life is at risk.
Wow. How often do you see patients who need mitral valve surgery?
Probably 100 times a year. It's a fairly common condition, even if it's not the most common valve condition.
In your opinion, is mitral valve disease something that we can prevent by lifestyle changes?
No, it's really caused by an intrinsic defect within the tissue of the valve. The valve is literally stretchy. The tissue is intrinsically, from birth, made to be a stretchy tissue versus valves that are not abnormal.
Is this a genetic condition?
Well, it's congenital. It's something that people are born with, or it's a type of tissue they're born with. Like some people are born with joints that are more flexible than others, so that in that sense, it's there from birth.
Yeah.
But it's not exactly a genetic condition that one can test for.
Okay. So, what are some of the ways we can treat mitral valve disease?
Predominantly, the treatment is surgical. In the early phases, it's possible to take medications that unload the heart, that decrease the blood pressure downstream so that the heart is pumping against less of a pressure. It's called afterload, reducing afterload.
Okay.
But mostly, once the valve is abnormal, significantly abnormal, surgery is needed to repair the valve, as opposed to replacing the valve, which was a technique that was used many, many years ago.
Oh, it's sort of like ACL. You repair it. I mean, not like ACL, but maybe like a meniscus. You try to repair it rather than just remove it?
Yes. 95% of the time with a leaking valve, we can repair the valve successfully.
Can you describe the surgery?
The surgery, the actual valve surgery, involves going in, exposing the valve, and then reconfiguring the tissue. So one of the two components are either we reposition the tissue to the right position when it's become stretched out, mm-hmm. or sometimes there's extra tissue we remove. And the other big part of the surgery is putting a device called a ring around the edge of the valve, which reshapes it to a normal shape.
Okay. So what's to prevent it from stretching out again in the future?
The valve stretches out because the leak creates more of a demand or more of a pressure on the heart to stretch.
I see.
That stretch causes more leaking. By repairing the valve and putting the ring to fix it into the proper position, mm-hmm. then the valve can't stretch and generally doesn't leak anymore.
It's like putting the finger in the dike.
Yes, although let's just say it's a permanent finger and it heals,
right.
And it doesn't come out.
Pardon my analogy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What's the biggest advantage to patients to have their procedure done robotically as compared to traditional methods?
The robotic surgery is the least invasive way to do a mitral valve repair surgery. The techniques are the same, although the exposure for the surgeon is much, much better. We can see the valve better than any other way.
Mm-hmm.
But the technique is much less traumatic for the patient. There's a much less body trauma. And so as a result, the recovery is dramatically faster.
Okay.
For example, in the hospital time is about 3 days versus 6 days for the standard surgery, and the total recovery is about 2 weeks versus 3 months.
So if you have the robotic surgery, in 3 days you can go on a treadmill and maybe walk, or
walking home, walking up and down stairs.
Really?
I've had patients go back to work at 4 days or 5 days if they work in a desk job, not super physical job.
That is awesome. Before we run out of time, because I want to make sure we get this information in, at the close of our day today, I would love to get how people can find out more about robot-assisted mitral valve surgery and for you, Dr. Bethencourt, at memorialcare.org/heart. And I want to give that again, memorialcare.org/heart. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. And what will they find if they go to that page?
Well, there is a link to my website, and between those links, there are numerous surgical videos of patients having robotic valve surgery, indications for valve surgery, reasons to be evaluated with echocardiography.
Mm-hmm.
And the most important thing is that really to emphasize is that often this type of surgery is indicated and life-saving even when patients don't have symptoms.
Really?
And many times the physicians taking care of the patients aren't aware of that data, but really over the past 5 to 7 years, there's very strong evidence that even when the mitral valve regurgitation is severe,
mm-hmm.
that patients should definitely have a repair. Their longevity and their complication rate will be much, much lower than just watching and making sure they're okay. And that's hard to convince, you know, the patients who don't have any obvious symptoms.
Right.
But it's very well established.
How would they even go into you and, you know, have the discussion if they have no symptoms?
Usually they have a murmur, and then they have an echocardiogram, which is a very non-invasive test that shows that the valve is leaking severely.
I see.
But then they need to pursue it further.
How often should we go into our regular doctor and have our hearts checked or even go to a specialist?
From valve disease, you know, just regular checkups once a year are fairly straightforward. I think if you have a murmur, however, one should be sure that there's a full workup done, because both in the aortic valve conditions and in the mitral conditions, you definitely should see a cardiologist and have an echocardiogram to assess whether surgery is needed.
And what just exactly is a murmur?
It's a noise. It's an abnormal noise in the heart. It sounds like a rushing sound,
mm-hmm.
like a psh, psh kind of sound.
Okay.
With a stethoscope. So it's fairly clear cut that there's something going on. Currently, the echocardiograms are so good at diagnosing the complexity of the problem that a cardiologist can really make a good assessment of as to exactly what's going on with the valve.
That part of medicine hasn't changed in 50 years. The good old doctor with the white coat and the stethoscope still taking care of business, right?
Exactly.
We want to thank you so much. Is there anything else that you want us to know about the future of robot-assisted mitral valve surgery?
Well, it's just become very, very safe and very, very standard. But as we tell patients, it's still heart surgery.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we don't minimize the fact that it's a major, major event for the patient.
Okay. Well, once again, we can get information I'm going to give that again, as long as I can do that. We have memorialcare.org/heart for Dr. Daniel Bethencourt. Thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thank you very much. My pleasure.
We really appreciate you taking that time out of your very busy day to talk to us about mitral valve surgery. Always wonderful to have you on the show. I'm Deborah Howe. Hope you're having a great day so far. Please join us again next time as we explore another weekly dose of wellness brought to you by Memorial Care Health System. Have yourself a fantastic, healthy day.